Hey, hey, this is the Bachelor Masters coming at you live from Los Angeles and a campground in Arizona.
Yeah, the Grand Canyon. It's just a, you know, nighttime thing.
Are you in a tent?
We're in a tent.
So you went to Arizona and you set up a tent and it's in an area with other tents.
Yes.
Were all the hotel rooms booked?
We like camping, Craig.
Chris.
Yeah, it doesn't sound so bachelor of you, ECR. Couldn't you glamp?
Everyone goes,
yeah,
oh,
Becca
my God.
Stayed in that like fancy tent called glamping.
That was a house with like a sheet roof.
Yeah. So that's not what you're in right now. You're in an actual tent.
Not the second, but yeah, I'm staying the night in a tent.
I'm glad you're having fun in Arizona. I assume you're stopping through Scottsdale to scope out Ari and Lauren. Pregnant, soon-to-be married couple.
We went to, did you guys know it was in Maricopa County?
No.
I didn't either. And it was very rough. Do not go to Maricopa County as an interracial couple and then speaking Spanish half the time.
Oh,
and
no.
Being friendly. So that's as far as I'll go. It was really bad. And
so you did go.
I went for a triple D side. There's this episode of Triple D. And the second I saw it, I was like, I have to go there. Triple D, everyone knows, is Diners, Drive-Ins.
Yeah. I still get confused by that acronym.
Me too, actually. Even I said it right now.
So you went to the restaurant.
I went to the restaurant. Featured. Scottsdale is everything they say it is, right?
It's
the Orange County of Arizona.
Yes.
And then next door to it is the more calmer Phoenix. But Phoenix is kind of like we were only there for a day, but Phoenix is fine. Everywhere else is very, very Maricopa County.
Yes.
The famous sheriff, Joe Arpaio, that just got pardoned.
Yep.
There's a reason he got elected time and time, time after time.
Right.
That's all I can really say. It was really bad. We left immediately.
Wow.
Grand Canyon is very international. I'm in a campsite with people from South Korea and Germany and Poland.
I think one of the contestants on this upcoming season is from Scottsdale.
Scroll, scroll, scroll.
Exactly. Yeah. Read, read, read. Scroll, scroll, scroll.
This isn't going to work. They have 30 women this time, which I guess is a jump from their normal 22.
Whenever they do 30, they make it sound like it's so much more, but so many more people get cut the first night that it doesn't matter anymore. And they'll make a big deal about it being 30, but then they'll cut 12, right?
Well, just to close the book on Arizona, our longtime listeners, I think, know my opinion on that state. The northern area is nice.
Well, thanks for telling me before I left, Craig. No, I'm just kidding. No,
you
did kind of warn me, but I've been here before. I'm here for the natural desert beauty.
Right. Well, we are here with our countdown episode where we judge 30 women based on nothing but a picture and where they're from.
And a short bio.
Yeah, see, I don't have the short bio. Do you have to click it?
Yeah, it's a little clunky. It took me a second to figure out. You click in. I had read the bios on mobile, but on desktop, you also get fun facts at the bottom, which I missed.
All right. I did catch up with the Facebook had a cool interactive thing. But before we get into that, a lot has happened in the world since our last podcast. War, famine, immigrant migration, border walls. Here in L.A., fires and mass shootings.
Mass shootings in L.A.?
Yeah, I know. They were all grouped into one bar for this particular moment in time. But normally they're spread out over the course of the year. So I just want to acknowledge the context with which we come to this new season of ABC's The Bachelor.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah.
Always the right place to critique and hopefully influence culture is The Bachelor Mansion, which was saved in the fire.
Completely saved.
Completely saved.
Is that right? The side house was burnt down.
It exposed the owners of the house, this family that, oh, lo and behold, they have to move out of their house 4 months out of the year and go live in another very rich place for the time that they're filming. Hassle giving up their house to The Bachelor for what I'm sure is a nice rental fee.
Now, if you don't mind me alluding to this, Craig, did this involve you getting into any of your famous, to me, Twitter battles over comments you may have made online?
Actually, did I? I feel like I did.
You totally did.
Did I?
I don't
Can you tell
remember.
Chris and remind me?
This is a note to listeners. Craig is so badass. He gets in so many Twitter battles. He can't remember if this is one of them.
he gets in fights on everything we love.
Is this the one with Carolyn from Below Deck?
Oh, yes.
Oh, okay. That is the one. Okay. Yes. This is actually good. And I'm glad you reminded me of this, because I was going to say something to the effect of our last Countdown episode, previous to our previous podcast season here, was epic and really unmatchable. It'll probably go down as the best Bachelor Master episode ever. It's where we informed Chris about me, Mark, and EZR's trip to Warner Brothers' lot for taping of the proposal and subsequent getting escorted off the lot, and then finding our way to the hotel where the contestants for the next day's the proposal taping were doing all their interviews. And we had dinner next to the executive producer of the Bachelor franchise, Mike Fleiss.
That was my favorite episode. In all the preseason episodes, I get to hear great stories of the stuff you guys have done in the interim. So this is part of that, Craig. This is that tradition.
This Countdown episode is not that. And so
Craig came to my kid's birthday party like he had been run over.
Did I? I cut my chin. I don't remember it being that big of a deal. I slipped and cut my chin on the cement.
Well, it looked like you had gotten into a physical internet fight.
That's got to be the title or the description of the episode. We're not above misleading people, are we, into listening? So,
Chris, so here's what happened. EZR, I think, knows all about this. So as our listeners know, I'm a big fan of Below Deck on Bravo. Mm. And my true love is Vanderpump Rules, of course, which, oh boy, let me tell you about the current season that's going on. Yikes. But Below Deck is also doing really well, although they're kind of going all in with really putting together a dysfunctional crew, a crew put together by actual boating companies would function. There's a hierarchy of the crew, and what's called the third stew, it's like the bottom of the cabin crew. It's always new or out of sorts or gets yelled at, and there's always this big controversy. And the season that's on right now, Caroline just did not get along. She caused all these accidents, and she quit halfway through the season. It's not uncommon for a crew member to get fired or quit, and then they bring in another crew member. But in this case, she kind of took it to a next level, which is she had legitimate employee HR harassment gripes that she had documented. She says it goes above the normal, what you would expect in a reality show that's based on drama. It actually crossed into what could be considered harassment or things like that. Since the show, she's just jumped on Twitter and Instagram and made trying to like condemn the cast and the crew. Like all the trolls are out, you know, telling her to get off Twitter and all this kind of stuff like that. Are you with me so far?
I'm with you.
I'm sure this is fast.
Aye.
Okay, so I'll make this quick. I followed her and
Social media.
Yeah,
style.
Twitter. Yeah, I didn't know. I didn't like
stalk her. Good distinction.
Yeah. So I'm just cruising along. The fires are raging in Southern LA, in Southern California and LA. And these are the very wealthy parts. The poor parts that aren't in fire zones that got caught up in the fires, that's in NorCal, and that's a whole different story. I was having a bad day and kind of particularly snarky. She tweeted, during the fires, can we remember all the animals that are getting displaced? And I replied, you mean the 1%?
Right.
I'm letting that settle in for dramatic effect for the listeners.
Cricket chirping. Is that funny? I mean, it's harsh. It's right on that line. But I mean, I think in a world where the 1% control 50% of all wealth and wouldn't hesitate to let us common folk expire for various reasons, I think it was kind of a short way of hinting at what other more aggressive people might just come right out and say, which is, woe is me, the rich people are getting displaced from their homes.
Yes.
Yes.
Do you find that funny, Chris?
Yeah, it's funny. All right. It's, I think it works on a couple different levels because there's just animal life versus human life also. Right. It's a little controversial. You know, I find this could be some kind of personal stuff that I have to work through in therapy, but I just find people stirring the pot in general. It is almost a troll mentality. It's funny for me. So,
right. When one like myself is writing the line, it's the replies to your writing the line that also ride the line that are interesting. It's not the ones that come back, you're an asshole, or I hope you die, or you scumbag. The first time in my Twitter career, I got a significant amount of
I was wondering about that, Craig. Yeah, you did. I read those.
In a first for a Bachelor Master, I had contact with a reality TV star on Bravo or The Bachelor. Caroline.
Leo texted us back.
Well, she slid into my DMs.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. She DM'd me and said, basically, like, look, before I tell you you're an asshole, do you have anything you wanted to say? But, you know, I explained, hey, you know, sorry, I was kind of in a trolley mood. But I do think there's a big difference between the SoCal displacements and the NorCal displacements and the 1%, all this kind of stuff like that. And she got into conversation about it. She's like, I see your point of view and et cetera, et cetera. And then I suggested that I'm on her side when it comes to the whole below deck thing, because, you know, whether she's right or wrong, to have something happen to you that you're passionate about and have some level of evidence and to go on a social network and try to advocate or fight for what's right, whether it turns out to be on the right side or the wrong side of history, I commend that. So we got into a little conversation about that.
Yeah, I felt like I got a front row seat to some of that because got to experience it in real time a little bit. And I didn't know about the DM.
I didn't know about the DMs either. Stuff
was good. Yeah, look at that. It's a nice little beautiful message at the end. People on opposite sides of an issue can have a dialogue and have best wishes at the end.
There you go. So yeah, common ground and open dialogue. Well, see, that's the thing about the DMs. I think the DMs on Twitter are different than DMs on Instagram. DMs on Twitter in the Twitter interface look and feel exactly like a regular reply. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. It just didn't seem like it was anything different than hitting reply to the tweet and having the same conversation as doing it in the message area.
Yeah.
Whereas on Instagram, I think to go and just DM somebody on Instagram is like really reaching out because it's this whole separate area and comments aren't, it's not the same threaded conversation that Twitter is.
I didn't know this. I know what you mean with the feeling of things. I think it's interesting because I never DM and I never answer them if I don't know the person. It's good.
Oh, you don't answer?
If it's for the Bachelor Masters account, I do. If it's relevant. You know, we've gotten all kinds of DMs from fans and from people that, I don't know, maybe some spam or maybe just some people that hate us or whatever, which is fine.
Wait, now, but towards the end of last season, we had a Bachelor Masters fan reach out to us in a comment on a post asking us for the origin story of the podcast. And
yes.
Chris and I were shocked and we gave this, you know, the whole story on air. Mm-hmm. You're saying since then, other people have DM'd the Bachelor Masters account?
I've gotten plenty of DMs. I just try to read for sarcasm or read for anything I need to read for. I don't know. Depends.
It sounds like what you're saying, ECR, is based on our DMs, we have like a 38% tomato meter rating. We're 38% rotten.
Well, it's going down this podcast episode.
You know what happens is that there are spams or things I perceive as spam. And if they're not, you can tell by like a follow-up text.
Because it's like, so, help the Prince of Saudi Arabia send your Bachelor Master money here, buy some oil.
It's really weird in Instagram because they'll do these kind of generic things like, yo, DM me now.
Right, right. You
know, something like that.
Yeah, or, it's like phishing for hookups.
It's for the Bachelor Masters, and I think they assume I'm Yeah. Who knows, right?
Well, maybe it's because they think you're like a master of bachelors or you're like in the S&M or something. Dominatrix.
There's a spin-off podcast.
Now, hold on a second. So this is all news to me, and I think you, Chris, I didn't know about any of this DMing action.
Yeah, because ECR, even fake DMs, you know that if it means we can monetize, we're going to take that right away. I don't care if they're bots and fake people.
I'm just treating it like another, like if it's my account. You guys are all both welcome to go onto the Instagram and
I think part of the charm of our social media presence is that I do the Twitter and you do the Instagram, so there's different voices on both of them. You get the different experience.
That's your hypothesis on it, Craig.
Yeah. And then there's our Facebook where, you know, we get nothing. Although, shout out to Michelle, who I went to high school with. Frequent commenter on our Facebook posts.
Facebook's a hard one now.
Mm-hmm. How many DMs, since that one about our history, origin story, have been legitimate?
Well, since, you know, that was during our last show. Right. So not much since. I think there's only been like two or three.
And what did they say?
I don't even have Instagram on my phone right now because I don't like, we were talking about this earlier before we started the podcast, but I try my best to not be on my phone. So deleting a lot of apps and even signing out of Facebook helps me a lot. Right. So I'll look it up. But
yeah, just give me one example screenshot. Aside from the origin story. Well, just give me one example.
Okay.
You're trying to spare our feelings, ECR.
Yeah.
No.
Was it high period?
I definitely have not signed on to Instagram since the fires when the Bachelor Mansion almost burned down. And that was, I downloaded it for a day. The last DM I saw, or one of the last DMs I saw that kind of was like, what's that? Was a fashion line that I think they assumed because we do Bachelor Masters and we might be all women, or that we're interested in fashion-y things. Kind of a Bachelor in Wine shirt type stuff. Just wanted to say hi. I don't know. They started a conversation. I didn't continue it. And that's it. Not exciting.
Well, last question. And then I swear to our listeners, we'll move on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that was since, but let's just do all time. Aside from the origin story comment, has there been any DM that's like a legitimate DM from a person that you then replied to and then they replied?
Yeah. I mean, I tend to reply to people.
Give us an example. I'm like dying here.
Oh, well, there are
actual listener feedback. I mean, this is
I've only had the Instagram for a few, like, I don't even think an entire year yet. Maybe for 9 months. There's been a few people like the person who asked us for the origin story. The problem with everyone else is that they don't ask us for anything. They say, great job, great podcast. And I go, thanks.
Oh, really?
Wow. My head is getting so big.
I thought we were talking into a deep void.
Guys, we are so big in the Instagramverse that the Bachelor meme pages are copying us. Some fan pointed it out to the guy. I'm guessing it's a guy because I think his name is like the Bachelor guy or something like that. And the Bachelor guy said, I don't know who that is, but it's very obviously copied. Right. It was already a reference that we had made or that the Instagram page for Bachelor Master had made. And this guy has thousands of followers, thousands.
Okay. Here's the headline. Bachelor Masters breakout season happens 2019.
Yes.
AI, the bots are not going to beat us, the humans. The corporate sponsors are going down. Bachelor Masters is here.
Yeah. I mean,
And the only reason I found out is because they tagged me. So they tagged
Bachelor Masters. I live a fragile existence emotionally. It doesn't take much for me to teeter one way or the other. The fact that you're keeping this from me. Now, Chris, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but you're a big fan of David Lynch. So I think you have a certain amount of despair, too.
Yeah.
So you haven't been logging this and sending it to us. I feel like I'm missing out on the fruits of our podcast labor this whole year because I thought we were just speaking to ourselves.
A finer point to the listeners and say the implicit stakes that are now explicit is the huge emotional stakes for all of us. You know, you are the difference between oblivion and a fulfilling existence. So that's the drama you're getting every week.
Those are bookend pieces.
But are you feeling our pain here, EZR? I mean,
I would love to give this all a little bit of perspective because I'm not saying I'm much younger than all you guys, than both you guys. I don't think I'm younger than Chris. I think Chris is younger than me. Let's just say I understand something about the social media generation. I'm not going to call them the millennials because I don't think it's that. I think there's old people that are social media generation style. And I think when I hear something really sincere, that's when I'm like, okay, I believe this. But when someone says, that's so amazing, oh my God, you guys are the best, then it's very hard for me to take it seriously.
Okay.
And I take that into all my, everything I do in life. I never give myself too many pats on the back. So I think I live on the other side of you, Craig, where I'm very like, if you're going to praise me, it better be real. And even then, I don't want to hear it.
It wouldn't be the first time someone is saying that I seek praise about myself. But part of the fun, like just the pure fun of podcasting or doing radio or being on TV is knowing that you have an audience, particularly interacting with the audience. That's really why we do this, right?
Well, we've had a lot of interesting comments that I can't tell if they're slights or if they are sincere and like folksy. Okay. Well, maybe we'll cut this segment very short because we have a lot to talk about and my battery's going to die in half a battery.
That sounds good. And it's fitting because there are more contestants than ever before. So we need more tangents than ever.
Chris, you're wonderful. Here we go. Let's see if we can make it through our whole podcast season without mentioning Colton. What do you say?
No.
Craig, are you, is this a joke?
You never know if it's irony or not.
That's how I feel so going into this season. With this episode and with the first episode of The Bachelor proper that I have, even more than I think either of you, is it's such a blob to me. I don't know how to make any distinctions. So avoiding Colton sounds good, but where do I go into the eyes of which lovely contestant here? I don't know.
Right.
I have a healthy guide for you, Chris, if you're ready good. For it. Yeah. And when I mean guide, I mean like I will lay down the stones as you step on them.
Before we lay down the stones, sorry to interrupt you, about Colton. So I'm sure our listeners or some, you know, maybe many of you have watched that preview video they put out, and Colton jumps over the fence. That seems to be the most interesting thing that's going to happen. He gets upset at something, hops over the bachelor mansion.
I never saw that. That is such a red flag.
So you never know. This could turn out to be great. Chris, you suggested that they should start over with a millennial bachelor or bachelorette, maybe a YouTube star. Mm-hmm. I think it's a great idea. I hate this pattern that they go in. Ezer, you seem to like it.
I do.
Just kind of lays... I didn't think you would come back with that, but okay.
So
I could just kind of lays our cards on the table here when it comes to Colton.
Yeah.
But yeah, is he just ripping off Tom Cruise? Is he trying to pretend he's hopping on the couch and he's hopping over the fence?
I would never, Craig, I never think I would have to justify why I like the show we have a podcast about. I like this pattern of one in, one out. Someone gets dumped, that person becomes the next bachelor, then they dump someone, then that person becomes the next bachelor, etc. Because it really gives you such an in. I am an asset to this podcast because I know such a deep background of who dumped who. But also, I think something that's interesting for people who watch YouTube, I would think it'd be the opposite, but no. People who watch YouTube now, you know, the typical viewer now watches a lot of YouTube. They go down these deep, dark holes knowing things, right? This is how The Bachelor feels to me. Like, the first time someone showed me Battlestar Galactica, I was like, I can never watch this because I'm never going to watch the 30-year-old show, and I'm not going to spend hours.
It's like anything, Star Trek.
Like anything. There's plenty of shows you can just sit down, watch 5 minutes of, be entertained, get up, and it doesn't matter.
Right.
Whereas this show, I feel like I have a lot of knowledge power. That's not to say power, but a lot of like insight into why things are happening the way they are. Even someone can watch the season, no problem, but can anyone really know why Colton is this way? Because this person made him this way and all the way back, as far as I can think, right?
He goes back to being named after the Indianapolis Colts, and the side turn onto naming his dog Sniper, and then claiming he's a virgin.
Right, but let me lay some brickwork down.
Because it's like hot lava. I need some rocks to step on so I don't melt my feet.
Exactly.
All right, lay it down, Ezer.
Well, I'm glad you brought that thing up about him jumping over the fence because we don't know the context. When you watch it, did you assume that something was so rough for him that he just couldn't take it mentally, so he just physically jumped over something as in getting away from it, right? That's what we kind of assumed.
Blah, blah, the video is only like a minute long or blah, blah. And blah, blah, as the music gets more tense. He's not crying, but he's obviously very upset. And he goes, I can't do this anymore. And we don't know what this is. And then they show him running to that fence that's kind of famous now. It's where the weird fight between those two bros happened outside. It was in the backdrop. Yeah. And he just skipped over it like an Olympic hurdler.
Right. So my first kind of piece of insight, you know, it's been a while since someone so early on is kind of hated. Nick was hated. Right, Nick Viall was hated, but everyone forgot that they hated him, and then they remembered when he came back on. That's the last time I can really remember someone. I was trying to think all the way back. So no one was excited for Ben Higgins, and Brad Womack, of course, the second time around was like, no, don't bring this guy back. He's the one who didn't pick anyone the first time. The second time he picked Emily. And then there's the other Ben Flagnick, which I feel everyone kind of felt whatever about. But this time,
ECR, you're just giving ammo to Craig's point that we need a new system because you just listed all of them.
let me keep this going because I have something. I have a point.
Sorry. Yeah.
Okay. The reason I say this is because Colton, I feel the hate for him really badly. The first comments everywhere I saw were just like, no. And I thought I was the only one, because he, to me, does not look like a good guy, but whatever. Anyway, so I thought, because he knows he's hated, he knows a lot of people don't want him as a bachelor, that I figured he probably would not make the same quote-unquote mistakes that make him look bad, only the ones that make him look good. Like, he'll dump people and cry, he'll pick people and cry, he will go out of his way. Yeah, but he wouldn't do something like something was overwhelming, he'd rather jump over a fence than do, but even that seems kind of wrong. Like, I would think he'd be performing the whole time, right?
Is he the guy with the foundation and they went to the Walmart and bought the toys and went to the hospital?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's really hard to walk back from, because that's like legitimate creepy.
He is trying to be the good, you know, he's like a good cartoon character. He's trying to be the good guy. Like, everyone thinks that, I'm trying to think of a good example, but no one really looks like that in like Disney cartoons. But he's trying to be that, you know, aw shucks guy. I don't know. That's the only way I can really describe it. To me, he looks like a Brock Turner, honestly. Yeah. Like, he has that.
You and the people you're describing are kind of see through him, is what you're saying. Ari, we liked him for reasons that were less deep, I guess what I'm taking from what you're saying.
We liked him for reasons that were less deep.
We didn't like Ari for his personality traits, but those personality traits were less deep in him. They were more superficial. With Colton, these are like real deep, weird things about him that people seem to not like.
I think Colton is just as calculating as anyone we've ever seen, including Ari. Ari was, to me, over the top calculating, right? He's a realtor.
Like, I don't think he's
no better celebrity realtor.
Calculating of a person. I mean, that doesn't mean he wasn't calculating.
I feel like they're the same.
Maybe I'm inferring something that's not there, but maybe Colton is a better performer, a better actor for reality cameras, or he should be. He acts as though he should be than Ari. Ari was calculating, but more transparent. Is that possibly true? Whereas Colton is trying to act like a reality star, I think, in terms of being, hey, Mr. Good Guy, I'm America's sweetheart. Here I am helping sick kids playing football.
Right. Yes. To me, someone like Leo is like, yeah, who knows? You know, he could be a cool guy. That to me is not, I know Leo's controversial, but Colton to me is controversial.
That is a good first step. I didn't know that he was so widely hated out there beforehand.
I'm also thinking that he's going to try to endear himself with every breakup. As everyone knows who goes on the show, the worst things about your the way you handle emotional situations gets exposed.
Right.
So I don't think he is going to be as put together as he thinks he's going to be. I mean, that whole jumping over the fence thing, I've known people who've done something like that, because they just can't take it and they can't speak and they're not good at showing their feelings in any way. And
so that's, they jumped over a fence.
So they do something physical. Escape an emotional situation that they can't mentally or emotionally, and instead they do something physical.
Well, no, I
know. For example,
punch a wall.
Jump over a fence. Yeah. Run away.
But yeah, you're right. Punching a wall. It's less about your actual emotion, more about trying to be dramatic in front of the other person.
But it's also, it's also a way that you can't connect your emotional ideas. So physicalness comes out, right?
Right.
And that to me is a huge flashing light of like, this person cannot communicate in any other way. You know, they can't form their thoughts in this state, which is kind of not a great thing for, you know, that's what happens when you mature. You start being able to form your thoughts in a better way.
I made the big mistake of starting to watch Unreal, the scripted fake version of The Bachelor that's on our unofficial sponsor, Hulu. You guys know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Yes. Never seen it. Heard a lot about it.
Now, obviously, it's way over the top, but it is executive produced by somebody who worked on The Bachelor. So there's, again, you don't know where that line is between what they actually experienced on working on reality TV and what's just, they're just having fun with it. One of the big plot points of the first season is that one of the producers switches out one of the women's bipolar medication for placebos. Uh-huh. And then she totally unravels into a bipolar episode and actually commits suicide. And it's really warped to me. Really warped to me. Not too many shows have really hit to my what's wrong with the world. The other show that did that for me was The Tudors, that historical show about Henry VIII. I mean, that was hardcore. Unreal is hardcore as well. Anyway, I started watching that. It was a bad idea because now I just have a gloom lens going into the season. When you have somebody like Colton, unlike someone like Ari and certainly Nick and Rachel and even Becca, these people, they have faults, but they definitely seem to know who they are. know their faults, know their weaknesses, know what they like, dislike, blah, blah. Colton doesn't seem like that at all. And so now I'm going to be totally messed up in the head looking at every one-on-one interview and every interaction thinking, how much are they pulling this out of him for effect?
To go back to a thread we've had in previous seasons, though, I would like to say this is sort of what justifies some of the cynicism that I have to say I still have when I look at the show. So when I say, I hope that people that go on the show are calculating or have these ulterior motives, it's exactly because I completely believe that it sounds like the atmosphere that's depicted in Unreal is probably closer to the truth than just a documentary set, for example. So that's where I'm like, I hope these people that are here are up for the ride and are not just naive little innocent bunnies going to the slaughter, because it's going to be a bumpy ride.
But Chris, isn't that what makes them more emotionally raw? Because here they are they're trying to be calculating, but they're not. But they're going to put on this facade. And when that facade cracks, it's not just going to go to the second layer of personality. It's going to go down deep to the core, because they're already trying to play a million games.
Right.
And it's hard to lie when you're lying on top of a lie.
In some cases, but it's sort of one of these things where the persona becomes so ingrained in who these people, especially this generation, as you know, both of you have pointed out in the past, this is not just like first gen Bachelor. This is people who are also have online presences and are very embedded in how they always present themselves. And this is like the Olympics of doing that. So I think that they're very well trained.
Becca M, who is now seven months pregnant, good for her. She's obviously been around on everything. And I have no reason not to trust her. She seems very open. Her story's consistent. She's cheery. There's an article where she talks about Unreal, and she says it's just really not true. See, on Unreal, what they show, a big point is that producers go one-on-one with each contestant and develop these actual friendships that then the producer totally exploits. But Becca M was like, that's not true at all. You know, there's a lot of downtime. We hang out with the crew. There's no exploiting those friendships that develops. That's just not what they're there for.
Yeah, but to be really fair, Becca M, Bika, right? Becca Martinez was in the in crowd. Oh, I'm sure they loved her. Yeah, I can't trust the number one person that they wanted that they couldn't get. Let me add another layer to the Colton thing, though, because, and I don't want to bring this up for too long, because I do think it's a little, the word, not trashy, but I think it's a little low. Everyone online, a lot of people online, I would say most of the comments I've ever read, the few times I've read the comments, is saying that they sense the gay thing from Colton.
I'm going to go after another podcast here. Mm. All right. There's another podcast. It's a corporate podcast. They're with Podcast One, Adam Carolla Empire. And it's called Another Bachelor Podcast. They created this 30-second GIF, animated GIF, and it showed Colton and said something about him being gay. And they went on to the Rose Tricks subscribe only Facebook page.
Private group. Yeah.
You're not supposed to like advertise other things there, right? Even though they don't care. But they posted, hey, what do you think of our new GIF? I wrote a comment. I said, well, it sounds like you're looking for actual feedback, so I'll give you some. So I said, number one, you know, it's well cut. But number two, I really think the he's gay or is he gay thing is not interesting anymore in 2018. Whoever commented on my comment saying, well, then our podcast isn't for you, and then 10 exclamation points, brah, or something like that. It's like, okay, whatever, dude. Why'd you ask? But you know what I mean? I don't think it's low to say, well, I think he's gay. I just think it's just like, it's 2018. I don't even want to give time on our podcast to even talking about that as a form of comment.
The only thing I wanted to make sure we gave kind of time to was that it's interesting that that's the word we reach for when we decide that someone is interested in these hot women. I think it's more the analysis of how everyone came to that conclusion. Because to me, he doesn't seem, if you're talking about someone who's attracted to men, he doesn't seem like he's attracted to men. But he does seem like he's not attracted to these kinds of women or some kind of woman. He's interested in advancing his,
We'll find out. Right.
But that's what it seems like he is interested in.
He's part of a category of a certain kind of a lot of people. I would say a majority of the people I see on The Bachelor that I just think of as there's like an asexual quality. It's kind of a weird thing because it's supposed to be such a sexualized show, dating and whatnot, but I get this vibe from a lot of people. So that's the most I would say is, yeah, that Coulton seems like he's a figurehead for something. He's kind of, you
know. That's exactly what I wanted to bring up, is I know I have a very close old friend who was a guy. He was a very attractive guy. I'm guessing how some women see Coulton, who just didn't like girls that much. He tried to date a guy, and that wasn't it either. He just wasn't sexual. He just wasn't a sexual guy. He liked women. He had to have sex every once in a while. He liked women more than men, or he liked women a little bit, but he wasn't just, he just wasn't interested. And that's,
it's just some people aren't wired for casual dating.
Yeah. And that's why when he says things about being a virgin, it's used in the wrong way. If that's not why he's a virgin. Right. You know, he could not be a virgin for so many reasons.
Well, that's, I mean, I think they're going to have to come out and talk about this on the show, because it's.
But they won't talk about it the way we're saying it, because there's only three categories in pop culture, right? There's you're gay, you're straight, or something's wrong with you. And that something wrong is so deep, but who knows, right?
Right.
So it's hard. That's why I think we should unravel it. Maybe that'll be our theme, because I thought our theme was, who did Coulton contact ahead of time to see if they could advance both their careers when this is over? Maybe the theme is, what is his real deep hang up about relationships?
That's interesting as an investigation into humanity. What makes people tick? If we got that conversation, that's great. I'm disappointed in the social media people that in 2018, while at the same time tweeting Me Too and calling people out for racist comments and all that, which is great. I'm glad we live in this environment. But at the same time, saying someone's gay, just come on.
It definitely feels 90s, right? like that's the thing. That's what he must be if he's not the other thing.
Vanderpump Rules is in a lot of trouble, because in this season, Gay Pride Parade is a big deal in West Hollywood, obviously, and their theme for their big party was 80s, and so everyone dressed up as 80s, and because the 80s was not a good time for gay people. If these shows encourage people just to say, oh, he's gay, just because he is a virgin and isn't, like, trying to make out with the girls by the pool on the first night.
There's something about, I don't mean to bring up the Ari controversy amongst us again, but I would say relatively younger contestants, I think, if they are on the show, especially in the position Coulton's in, they've probably been pretty ambitious and successful in a young life so far. And often to do that, you have to have this kind of intensity that might not be conducive to developing any real, like, sexual drive, because that involves developing a different side of yourself. And I think Ari, as an older contestant, I actually did think he was a little more genuine in terms of wanting to have that. Now, we could debate how personally interested he was in, but sort of sexually interested. I thought, you know, there's something about he's, like, a little older, a little more set into his personality. That's something that I would notice, because Coulton, Jordan, some of these other young, like, attractive model reality type people, it's like, yeah, you got to be on overdrive to get to this point, and you're not going to be, like, a real cool, like, sex pot, you know, if you're doing that, I think.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So, again, are we going into the women?
I feel like if we're going to make the switch, we got to make that switch here pretty soon.
How about we talk about the women that stand up out to us the most, and not woman by woman?
All right. If we have one, can I go first and get it out of the way? Because I'm going to have
like three or four.
Right. Mine's going to be quick. My person that I'm interested in, and it's more because the way she's presented, it was the only sense of humor that I seem to get from their title in Chiron, is Erin, 28, whose title is Cinderella, and I think it's based on her personal description from Plano, Texas. Her description is, Erin works full-time for her stepmother's home improvement business. She's not afraid to get her hands dirty, but cleans up nicely. When she's not working, she enjoys ballroom dancing, as long as it's not too late of a night. She also loves expensive shoes, but admits she can do a better job keeping track of them. She loves pumpkin spice lattes. There's the corny bachelor magic we've all been looking for. Erin.
Oh my God, Chris, I didn't even read into that. I thought that was just a bunch of weird facts all tied together, but now I get it. That is
the
so
most
smart.
Stupid thing, but
it's,
funny.
Super smart. That is very cute. If all that is true, it's very cute, right?
It's cute. Yeah. That's why we can get cute out of the way quickly. That's all I have to say. I want to hear what your pick. So let's move on from Erin.
The first thing that jumped out at me was that on the official Bachelor page here, all of the city, comma, states of every contestant is spelled out. So California, Texas, Alabama, except for one, which is Elise, who's from Alaska, and it just says AK, state abbreviation.
Mm-hmm. They know people will think Arkansas, and they think that's more acceptable. Yeah,
maybe they were going for that. I don't know. I like attention to detail. I know somebody wrote this page and mistakes happen, but it just jumped out at me. It's like, come on. But who am I to judge? And then the Never Been Kissed woman.
Yes, yeah. Heather.
I think what they're probably trying to do is link that to the virgin thing. So there's a thread there.
How do we prove that? How do we prove in both cases? I want to know. I want tests done.
Yeah.
Yes.
What does it even mean? I mean, never been kissed. Typical Bachelor fashion where they set up one thing in the previews and then it turns out to be something completely different. It's probably gonna be like she was the star in the off-Broadway play Never Been Kissed or something. But anyway, she's from Carlsbad, which not far from here. Heather, she's 22. They're all really young except for the woman that's not young.
Nina is 30.
Well, there's a 31-year-old. That's the woman from Alaska slash AK.
There's also Tracy, 31, from LA, a wardrobe stylist.
Oh, I guess I only read that one. Yeah, Tracy and Nina, I guess.
All right, that's it for me.
Dang, you guys. Heather. Well, let's talk about Heather because she's the Never Been Kissed guy, girl, lady. I definitely think she would get cut early, but not because Deck Colton's a good guy. And just from her bio, and I hate reading this much into it, but she looks like the kind of girl who fakes a very scary smile and like tells people she loves to have fun because she is so cringy. And she, walking into a bunch of a house full of women like that, they're going to tear her apart because she's going to get made fun of.
Well, she could leverage Never Been Kissed for first kiss. Maybe she's going to swoop in night one, get that kiss.
Right. And make a big deal out of it. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
just go
man.
Right up and kiss him.
I do not think she's calculated in a good way. I think she might be a very unspoiled soul, but that I mean in a bad way for The Bachelor, where she's the kind of unstable person they are loving to exploit.
Her fun facts, she has a kitty named Kitty and she's afraid of snakes. So maybe you're right, just to your point.
She's afraid of snakes. That's like saying.
Yeah.
That's what all their facts are, though. None of the facts give us any insight. Right.
In our first season or something, you pointed out the nerd.
If you want to say you're a nerd, you just say that's code for, you read a lot. Oh, you know what Harry Potter is?
Yeah. Okay.
What else? So she's going to, barely hold herself together, if at all. that's Bachelor Gold, right? So my biggest takeaway, let's see, what did I think? Definitely Erica might be the next Corinne. Catherine might be the next Crystal. Uh-huh. And Devin might be the new emotional intelligence.
Which one's Devin?
Devin looks just like emotional intelligence.
Heather, it's like, how do I find someone quickly?
From Arizona State with a master in sports journalism.
She's from Medford.
Namaste. Yeah.
All right. Do you think she's going to be the emotional intelligence because she looks like the emotional intelligence?
Yeah, you know what? I just made it. Also, her bio read that way to me. I didn't just pick people based on their looks. I based on their bio. But she does look like emotional intelligence. My overall thinking is that Annie, who's the horse girl, like the horse girl type. I don't know, you guys know what a horse girl is? Like, loves horses.
Likes horses, yeah.
Loves Uggs.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah. She's a financial associate. That's the title. And that to me is a lot more fishy than sloth. Right. But she probably will be the front runner. Like, I know they're trying to culturally line him up with all these blonde country girls that are super compatible with him. But I think because he's lying about who he is, he probably appears to be simple, but he's probably going to want more of a something else. I don't know what kind of girl he might like, but I think Bree.
Since Bree is from LA, and a model, so she's kind of a public figure. I imagine that they're going to play up the Chargers, who are in LA now, and Colton is on the team practice squad. I'm sure they'll do a one-on-one date that involves the Chargers.
Right, so maybe we should look to see whether he might have to pick Bree, I feel, out of obligation of she's kind of the one he should end up with looks-wise.
Yeah.
So if everyone who's listening looks up Bree, That to me is my Annie, Brie, Demi are my front runners. Maybe Aaron and Hannah, but Hannah G looks like she's trying to live the Bika life.
Well, they're both from Alabama, and Hannah B was Miss Alabama. She's the current reigning Miss Alabama.
Right, right. Hannah B is one of my front runners. Hannah G looks like she's trying to just the Bachelor is just a stepping stone to her whatever. The end product will be some internet thing, the way Becca M right. is living her life. So there is my short.
All right. Hot takes. Well done, as always. I think I'm done.
We wrap up here. Yes. I've got to say, we ran with the tangents. We embraced the tangents. That's going to make this episode, this preview episode, stand out. We always have something a little funky, and that's what we had. And you in Arizona, ECR. Yes.
I'm going to blindfold you and take you to the freaking mountains, and then you'll see. Camping is fun. I'm just freezing, and yeah, it's horrible. Why do I do it all the time?
Please take a picture in the morning of the tent, and maybe a group picture of how you and Mark look in the morning after not showering and being in dirt in the tent.
Ah, okay, fine. Hey, so our theme for this whole season is going to be pretty good. I think that we need to circle back to that really quick before we say bye. It's just that we are going to try our best, right? I mean, or if anyone else wants, we can all add dimensions or we can change our theme altogether. But I like the theme personally. But of course, you know, I'm one out of three. That we are going to try to figure out Colton's real hang-up with being with somebody.
Sounds good to me. Intriguing.
I'm trying, exactly, Chris. I'm trying to give you where to aim your arrow or however.
Yeah. Well, I am going to say to the listeners, DM ECR on Instagram. Yes. He's going to read them to us. Like and subscribe, and we're going to catch you for a great season.
Yeah. Can't wait. That's well put. Well put, ECR. Well put, Chris. And Chris, you're not going to be with us for the first week.
Yeah, that's unfortunately true, but I'll be here week 2.
Easy arts, you and me going at it.
All right, we're gonna fight.
One of us can like pretend to be Chris, say what we think he would say.
You mean one of us could mediate when the other one when they're
like, Chris, what do you think? You know, it's like that radio host who used to do all the fake shows with Phil fake Henry? Voices. Yeah,
Phil Henry. He's not. He's still around. I have a subscription.
Chris, you're very silent on this idea.
Yeah, I'm just waiting for it to, you know, become hurtful.
No.
That's what I signed up for, so that's okay.
All right, too. It's been great. And thanks to everyone that's listening. And we can't wait to be with you for the next 4 months.
Sweet. Bye.
Bye.